Welcome back to Customers Who Click, the e-commerce podcast for D2C brands. In each episode, we will look to answer one important question. What is the one thing brands should be doing right now to get customers clicking? Each guest will take us through actionable insights and real-life examples from brands excelling in the art of customer attraction. So whether you're looking to enhance your conversion rates, boost average order values, or extend customer lifetime value, this is the podcast for you. Visit customerswhoclick.com for all our past episodes and to connect with us. Now dive into the world of D2C e-commerce with us and unravel the secrets to keeping those customers clicking. Hello and welcome back to Customers Who Click. Today's guest is the remarkable Hristo, co-founder of Hyperzen. They're an amazing agency that helps brands who are really nailing the D2C side expand over to Amazon and make that a successful distribution channel as well. So Hristo, welcome. Tell us why Amazon?
I will. Thank you for the intro. Well, why Amazon? Because even up till this day, there are very few agencies that are doing Amazon the right way, because people don't realize that it's a lot of work and you need a lot of expertise, because it's like very different than Facebook and TikTok, and Instagram is just a beast of its own. And you need to get really deep to understand Amazon and be able to do it on a daily basis. People think I'm going to just start Amazon, I'm going to get my listings up, and that's it. I don't need to do much more. Well, let's say if you do that, you can get 5 to 10% spillover from your traffic that you're running to your website. But if done properly, Amazon could actually turn into a very significant channel for you, making up to between 60 and 100%, I'd say, of what you're doing on your own website. So if you do the right steps, you can actually double your business.
I mean, that's pretty, I think that's what most people want to hear, right? What is that one thing you think brands need to be doing to get customers clicking on Amazon, I suppose?
Oh my God, I have so many things on my mind right now, but well, let me just start with a few and see where this goes. So what pops up in my mind first is like a CPC right now is getting more and more expensive. A lot of brands look at the ROAS, like the total ROAS of the Amazon account or the lifetime value of the customers. And you can actually enroll your products in Subscribe and Save with 10% seller-funded discount and create a can't-miss Subscribe and Save coupon for the first order. Something in the range of 20-30% is perfect. What this does is it will make your product much more appealing for the clients that just want to test it out. And if they like it, they'll just stay subscribed forever. And the cool thing is that you're giving them the discount only on the first order. So all the next orders are going to have regular pricing, which is great for you. As you can imagine.
So they're opting in to Subscribe and Save. They're actually only getting the discount on the first purchase.
Exactly. Yeah. This wasn't available before. It's a new thing from like a few months in. And it's very sweet, actually. So right now we have accounts with more than 10,000 subscribers, and this strategy works extremely well for products that you need to purchase every 2-3 months, basically. I can mention a couple of brands even, like one of them is VFresh or RedDrop. They have products that people need every month even sometimes, so this is a great strategy for them to retain customers.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it sounds amazing. What I'm particularly interested in personally is, what's the difference between like an Amazon PDP and a D2C PDP? Like, can you just take the content from your D2C page and put it on Amazon and see success, or is there more to it?
To an extent, of course, it's very similar. You just need to test it out, like similarly like you do with your campaigns on Google, TikTok, Facebook, whatever. Like, just test your creatives, basically, to see what works. It's exactly the same principle. I mean, it might work. It might not work, to be honest. It's just, there are some specifics, of course. For example, I can give some specifics for the main image. The main images on Amazon, it's very important to use like the whole space that you have for the image. So something that's been working very well is if you put a picture that's a bit more zoomed in, if that makes sense, it's kind of distorting even the product a bit, but it's taking a lot of space on your screen. So when people scroll, they stop because they see your product that's like on the whole image rather than just being a bottle or whatever in the middle of the screen and they like can barely see it. So this works very well. Also, if you're giving any additional products as a gift, make sure that you include that on your main image as well. And also, we've been testing out for a few years and it's been working very well for some products is just include various other random, I'd say, ingredients, if it's a product that has ingredients, or just add something to the background that you can differentiate yourself. Just to say, this is not entirely according to Amazon's terms of services, but you can test with some little things that you think might grasp the customer's attention. And honestly, we've had images that we've been using for 4 or 5 years with no issues this way. So basically, because Amazon states that you need to have the product on a white background and nothing else, what I'm trying to say is test it out, spice it up. It works sometimes. And
so are you saying kind of if you were selling a blender, for example, your main image would be the blender plus like ingredients, the stuff, some of the stuff you would put in the blender?
Yeah.
Just to make it,
Or like put a propeller on the back and kind of make it look cool. Just differentiate from your competitors, because what most people do is they become copycats of their competitors and they're like, well, these guys are doing it this way. Yeah. I mean, okay, like do it differently so that you can actually stand out. Take the best practices from them and add something on top. That's what I'm doing.
Makes sense. Like I said, you've got to do something to stand out. I saw what one of the tips with Google Shopping that I've seen is if everyone's product is facing one way, you should make sure your picture is facing the opposite way, because it's like a pattern interrupt, right? You'll be looking across that gallery and you'll see one product that stands out because it's doing the opposite thing.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Google, because I want to give an example with another interesting thing that people can do with the help of Google, actually, because we have many brands of our own, as well as for our clients, that we've built a network of websites around a particular niche. And this way, you become kind of a thought leader in the field, because when people search on Google, just organically, they found you with the magic of SEO. And they find various websites for, let's say, car care, and they see a certain brand name over and over and over and over again. And SEO is great because you don't need to convince people much, because when you're advertising, they know it's an ad. But when you're doing something organic like SEO, people feel much more inclined to believe that this is the product that's going to change their lives. So the twist is that inside these SEO articles, you actually can include your Amazon products by using the brand referral links, so-called brand referral links. And this way, you get tons of sales from people just reading the article, plus you get a 10% brand referral bonus by being your own affiliate, basically, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to do it, right? You know, particularly if you're only on Amazon, right? You've got to find ways to drive traffic to your Amazon page.
Even if you're not only on Amazon, I mean, by getting these 10% back, you can afford to spend much more on advertising or SEO than your competitors that they're not doing it.
Yeah. You mentioned free gifts. Now, I came across like the weirdest thing I think I've seen on Amazon, probably ever. I think the product was something like a gaming monitor, or it might have been a TV, something like that. And the gift options with it were you could either have a frying pan or a salad spinner.
Okay, that's very random.
And this was like, I mean, so I don't know exactly how Amazon works and who gets to control pages, but from what I could see, this was like the official brand store for the monitor or the TV, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So I was like, why? Like, what does that happen? What's going on there? And I suppose really the question to you is, does that work? Or does the gift have to be relevant?
In my opinion, the gift has to be relevant. I mean, we've tested it out. And I mean, if you give random gifts, you need to be sure that they're not actually random. Because sometimes you think it's very random. Some marketers are like really good marketers. They've done their homework. They've tested it out. And maybe people actually want to buy the screen and the pen. You never know. I mean, but again, we go to the point of testing things out. I mean, if you believe that it could work, test it out. See, without even having the product, just run some ads and see how it goes.
Maybe it's one of those weird things where they're using it as like a decoy.
Yeah, might be. Might be some Chinese just exploiting the platform, keep in mind.
Yeah.
But I want to share something interesting about increasing your average order value, actually, exactly what you mentioned, because everyone knows that you need to target your own products on Amazon, because that way you protect the ad spot on your products, on your product detail pages from competitors targeting it. But that way you're actually wasting a ton of money and leaving money on the table. What do you need to do that works like a charm is you just create a bundle which includes two single complementary products from your portfolio and target the ad spots with this new ASIN. The benefit of that is you will protect the ad spots for sure, but you will make upsells and you increase your average order value. This is a very smart way of getting more money. Why push ads for your single product if you can push ads for more products? It's again your brand. People are going to see it and they're going to end up buying more.
I mean, it makes sense. So are you suggesting, so if on the product page for product A, I also see a bundle for product B and C? Or is it A and B?
This also, but I was referring more as like, yeah, you can see A, B, and C. It doesn't matter. It's just an upsell. Basically, you're doing an upsell. And instead of these people, like instead of a client seeing your competitor, they see an offer you're making for them, let's say.
Yeah. And is this, could you just tell us where on the page this is? Is this where it says customers who bought this also bought, and you get like, you normally get about three kind of bundle options there? Is that what you're talking about?
It's, yeah, right under whenever you're on your listing, right under your bullets. Basically, there is a space where people can run ads on top of your listing. So people can get distracted, click on that, and get to another listing page, basically. So yeah, you want to avoid that by marketing it yourself.
Yeah, that makes
but
sense.
Again, it's interesting that also we have done other strategies, because one of our clients has so, like, he's dominating the niche and he's getting so much brand related traffic from other competitors that during Black Friday, once what we did is we completely stopped the ads on our own listings. So people were actually seeing the competitors. But then what we did is we were positioning ourselves on the competitors' listings. So this way, we made them spend their budget, and then we were making more sales at the end because our product is premium. So if people want to buy the Chinese knockoff, they're welcome to do it. But if they want to buy the real thing, proper, good-looking product, they're going to end up buying our product this way. And this way, we end up spending much less because the bid for our main brand keyword at the time was $2.45 per click. This was insane.
$2.45. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Per click. This was not profitable. As you can imagine.
I mean, have you got maybe some examples of brands that are doing this really well? Oh, actually, sorry. Before we go into that, actually, do you want to talk about like the Amazon kind of brand shop bit a little bit? So not the PDP. Like if you click through to the brand page. Because I've been onto there as a customer a few times, and I've just thought it was just normally a pretty bad experience. Where
do you mean the storefront? Amazon storefront?
Yeah, probably. So on a product page, it's say this is this person's store.
It's called a storefront, actually. And even though not many people are going there, if you are a proper brand or if you want to be a proper brand, I'd say that you need to have an amazing looking storefront and need to invest some time there, because this is the window to your brand. So when people want to see more from your brand, or maybe they can end up even from Amazon going to your website, which is not unseen. And if they see a proper brand store, they're much more inclined to even become fans of the brand and just keep coming over and over again. But if it looks shitty, just not gonna work. In 2024, right now, you need to be better than the competitors. Even if it's 1% better, trust me, it makes a difference, because right now the space is cluttered with knockoffs and lookalikes and brands that are not really brands, but they're just doing something that someone else is doing. And if you have put your heart and soul in the brand and you want to stand out, you'd better make everything right.
Yeah, makes sense. One thing I wanted to ask about. Oh, so I think from the brands I've spoken to, and when Amazon comes up as a topic, there's a lot of thought about, well, is it going to just cannibalize my sales? But it was basically competing with ourselves. We're going to lose money because of commissions and stuff. That like a legit concern, or should it's you basically say, no, no, it's completely
separate? It's not a legit concern, and I'll tell you why. We've tested it out a few times, actually, because, of course, you're far from the first person to mention that. And for some of our clients, they're like, oh, it's eating up from my website sales. We're like, okay, let's completely stop Amazon. I mean, your products will not exist on Amazon for 3 days. Nobody will be able to see it. And we did that. And yes, his sales on the website increased by a little bit. But in total, he was making $5,000 less per day. So for 3 days, he lost $15,000 from basically not being listed on Amazon. And you know why that's happening? Because no matter what you do, some people are going to buy on Amazon because they trust the platform. They have Amazon Prime and they're just used to it. It's much easier for them than convincing them to go to your website and go to a process maybe they're not familiar with, et cetera, et cetera, instead of just purchasing the product on Amazon. And yes, of course, whenever you're just getting on Amazon, you're going to get spill over from your website. But again, these are mostly people who are never going to make a purchase on your website. And this is usually between 5 and 12%, depending on category and niche. But again, what we're aiming for is 60 to 100%. So all of these other 50 to 90% are actually new users, Amazon organic users, who are otherwise just not going to make the purchase on your website because they don't trust the website, they're not used to it, and they prefer buying on Amazon. I hope that answers the question because we've actually tested it a few times and people always lose money when they stop their Amazon.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, we have had a similar conversation on here before, right? It's you need to go meet the customers where they are, right?
Yeah.
If you're a D2C brand and your product is something that people commonly buy in a supermarket, get yourself in the supermarket because they're not going to come to your website to buy it.
Exactly.
Right? And the same thing, similar same thing for Amazon, right? Amazon's customers are Amazon's customers.
Yeah.
You can't, it's difficult to change that, right? Particularly for certain products, certain categories. I guess absolutely. I would say it's more commodity products.
I mean, if it's more fancy, high-end products, yeah, maybe they'll always prefer to buy on your website just because it's like different kind of users. But for everything that is just everyday products, even products up to $200, but really depending on the category, because some products for $200 could be fancy if you have the same product for $20, but there are just some products that start off at $150, $200 just because you cannot buy a cheaper version of that product. For example, we have one client with scented lamps and we're selling them for like $180. Again, I wouldn't say it's considered like a super fancy product. It's kind of a mid-range, but yeah.
Makes sense. Cool. Just quickly, have you got some, what are some examples people could look at? If you said, this is just a fantastic product page or a brand that just does their Amazon presence well. Have you got any examples?
Yeah, I have. I suggest people go and take a look at Uproot Clean. It's a pet brand. We started with them when they were not on Amazon at all. Right now, we're doing 7 figures a month with that brand. And Amazon, for a second year, they include us in their catalog that they send for Prime Day as an example of a listing and storefront well done. I mean, we haven't paid for that spot. They just decided to do it for a second year. They're including this brand of ours, which is, I think it says enough.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Cool. Amazing. Thank you. Yeah, before we finish up, have you got a big mistake from your career that you'd be happy to share?
It's more of a, whenever someone asks me that, they always think of, there is a pattern that repeats itself over and over again. And this is myself and my business partners, we're like, let's say, perfectionists. It's a bit of an OCD. So whenever something is not perfect or like crafted to perfection and absolutely amazing, we just don't feel confident running it or like releasing it and putting it out there. And this is a huge mistake because, I mean, we've learned our lesson. Right now, we are not doing it, or at least it's to a much more extent. But what I mean is, if you want to just get out there, if you have an idea for a product or a service or whatever, just, you know, put it out there. It might not be perfect. It might be all right. Test it out. See how people are responding. And then, you know, just refine it, edit it, make it better over time. But don't let yourself, don't keep yourself from success, basically, by keeping the product, the landing page, the listing for yourself. Just put it out there, see how it performs, and then make refinements. I hope that makes sense and reaches a lot of people, because I know there are many of you out there which are like me. They just cannot release it if it's not perfect, but this is not healthy. just put it out there.
I think fortunately for me, I have been the opposite. My entire life, I've been very much, I just want to get something done and then I'll work on improving it over time, right? I'd rather get something out there and see what the reaction is than spend hours, weeks, months perfecting it.
Good for you.
And then finding out it doesn't work.
Good for you. I mean, this is definitely the right way.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thanks so much, Chris. So if anyone wants to reach out and find out more, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, they can just go on our website, hyperzone.io. And they can get tons of information about us. We have Facebook page, LinkedIn, Instagram, everything is Hyperzone. So it's very easy to find. We're actually releasing a brand new website 2 to 4 weeks from now.
Okay.
So people are going to get tons of interesting information about what we do and the services that we offer.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks for listening. That's all we have time for today. If you have any questions or would like to add to today's conversation, join me here on the podcast, sponsor the show, or work with me. Simply email will@customerswhoclick.com, visit our website, customerswhoclick.com, or connect with me, Will Lawrenson, on LinkedIn. But until next time, keep those customers clicking.